Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The life of a reformed gangster is always a hard line to walk. Because once you slip up, the feds won't hesitate to put you right back into a cell. But what happens when a man who's been respected in the streets for years manages to fool everyone, making them believe that he left his old life behind? All while building a public image as an entrepreneur, community leader, and even the former manager of stars like Nipsey Hussle. Turns out, he may have just been pulling off the biggest trick of all, flying under the radar for decades, fooling the law, and stacking an empire that's now on the verge of collapse. Because it's starting to look like this high-ranking rolling 60s crip wasn't just hiding in plain sight, but he might have been tied to some shocking murders as well. It's your boy Luesta, and this is the downfalls of LA's check-in kingpin, Big U. After rising up as a successful podcaster, internet personality, and all-around OG in the Cali gang scene, Eugene Big U Henley Jr. looked like he had it all figured out. He was running his own nonprofit, making moves as an entertainment executive, and earning respect in the streets and the industry, especially in the LA underworld he first entered as a top-ranking member of the Rolling 60s neighborhood Crips. But just when you thought he had it made, the feds swooped in and are now looking to throw the book at him.
Now, in their case, the feds say he ran a mafia-like enterprise. He's accused of murder, kidnapping, embezzlement, robbery, and extortion. And that's just to name a few. Now, Big U claims he's innocent, but if he's convicted on these charges, he's facing the rest of his life in prison.
Accused of running a mafia-like organization that relied on his stature and long-standing association with the Rolling 60s and other street gangs to intimidate businesses and individuals, Big U shared a video just prior to turning himself in, which he asserted his innocence after the RICO charges were announced.
Today, we're here to announce federal criminal charges against Eugene Henley Jr., a career criminal known as Big U, who used his contacts and leadership role in the Crips criminal street gang, the entertainment industry, and a youth charity to further his own criminal enterprise, an enterprise engaged in murder, extortion, robbery, human trafficking, COVID fraud, and other felonies.
I just need y'all prayers. I need y'all to... I don't even know what to say.
A move that was part of an expensive swoop from the feds known as Operation Drawdown. 10 other alleged gang members and associates had been arrested and charged with various federal crimes, including drug trafficking, racketeering conspiracy, and firearm offenses. 4 defendants were already in custody. And for Big U, this is far from his first issues with the law. He previously served 13 years in prison after a 1991 arrest for attempting to rob an undercover cop of 33 pounds of cocaine. Since emerging from prison in 2004, it's when Big U reimagined himself as a community activist and fighting against the gang violence. But in this investigation, which has reportedly been occurring since 2021, it's alleged that Big U has been as deeply involved in crime as ever. According to United States Attorney Joseph McNally, the allegations in the complaint unsealed today reveal a criminal enterprise that engaged in murder, extortion, human trafficking, and fraud, all led by a support anti-gang activist and purported music entrepreneur who was nothing more than a violent street criminal. Among the allegations is that professional athletes, musicians, and others had to check in with Big U to ensure their safety, a practice which he talked about openly on his podcast.
When I go to Chicago, I respect Chicago wholeheartedly. I check in. When I go to Atlanta, I check in. When I go places, I check in. And I don't think nobody is safe. I know dudes right now from LA who are actual gang members who have been robbed for their jewelry, who real killers, like who really real killers. Like if he ever find out who did that, he gonna knock everybody down. You understand what I'm saying? you just caught slipping. You know, that's how it is. You know what I mean? And you try your best not to be slipping. And if you have the means not to, why do it? You know what I mean? And it's just about, sometimes it's about respecting, you know, yourself and then trying to get home. So, I mean, you know, I hear a lot of back and forth on that. But, I mean, I don't know that it's a perfect answer other than me, myself, I check in.
By the sounds of it, this was the worst kept secret in L.A. Because now, an old clip of Schoolboy Q resurfaced in which he seemed to allude to Big U's status as the man that people were stupidly entrusting.
It's been rumors that L.A. is probably one of the most dangerous places for rappers. Do you believe that's true?
Yeah, wow. Because, I mean, everybody be checking in. That's y'all favorite thing to do, check in with somebody that's gonna rob your stupid ass.
Right. Like,
Yo, you think that guy, the guy that you don't know, motherfucker, in California got your back? The guy that got beef with other hoods and all this, you checking in to that dude?
Right.
Bro, just go to the hotel, get you something to eat, go back to the hotel.
Do your business.
Go have some fun,
right,
where shit is fun. Why do you want to go over there?
Right.
For what?
Elsewhere, rappers who visited L.A., like Rich Homie Quan, have spoken about their own experiences with this kind of situation.
First time I ever went to L.A., I went out there to shoot the Parts video with her. But they knew what time I landed. They knew what hotel I was at before I landed. Listen, bro, the first time I go out there, Fly with T.I.G., Fly was like, man, we got to go pull up on Big U. So we're going to Crenshaw High School, but then he got the football kids out there. So my mind fucked up. It's my first time going out there. He was like, yeah, man, we knew what time he landed. I was like, oh, yeah, this shit dip. He was like, yeah, you in the hotel room, then much car in your bag, and so drive. I was like, oh, yeah, this shit dip. So at the same time, I said that to say, that checking in should be real. I ain't paying no money. All he wanted me to do was just take pictures with the kids, the football kids. There'd be little shit like that. Like, niggas be thinking, check in, oh, you got to pay. They just want you to show the community, like, you're still able to be reached.
But his reach extended far beyond what you'd expect. And it wasn't just street-oriented rappers who fell under his jurisdiction. According to the paperwork, NBA players or other celebrities would need to work with and get approval in advance from Henley to ensure their safety at events in Los Angeles, such as parties, gambling games, or advertising shoots. Reportedly, these celebrities would have to seek and or pay Henley for protection and approval or face retaliation from the Big U enterprise. And when he was defied, he always looked for there to be consequences. For example, when former boxing champion Adrian Broner failed to check in and won millions from NBA players in rigged dice games, the paperwork claims that Big U directed associates to rough up AB, who had not checked in with Henley, and to get the money back from him on behalf of the cheated NBA players. Multiple members of the Rolling 60s allegedly arrived and were used to press AB. This was because, in the testimony of an unnamed witness, Big U was involved and or would approve of any dice games or similar events, such as parties involving large sums of money and prominent NBA players and celebrities. But it's not like he was trying to ensure the integrity of these games. It's reported that Big U just intended to charge them $100,000 for the safe return of their money. But while Big U hasn't mentioned it directly, comments from Broner have since seemed to underpin that he really did make off with a fortune at one point.
He told me that you and John Wall was playing dice one time, and you caught that nigga for like 3 M's. They told me you beat John Wall in dice one time for millions. Is that fact or fiction? Because somebody, this is a reliable source that told me this too.
Listen.
This is a real nigga that told me this.
Listen, it's truth to that, but it was dice and cards.
Oh, so it was a whole day of just a day of like...
It was dice and cards. And the crazy thing is John Wall is my guy. That's like my guy.
So hold on.
I ain't really trying to go into that, but...
Yeah.
But that was just some friendly gambling. It gets serious, but you got to think these two niggas that got the money, that gamble. So it can be a quarter million a game, a million a game. Like, you know what I mean?
And it get there. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's all friendly.
Right.
It's all friendly. It's just sometimes it get like that.
Alongside the fortunes he made from the check-in racket, Big U managed Mike Epps, Ving Rhames, Corrupt, and others, as well as having ties to Snoop Dogg, Daz Dillinger, and other Dog Pound members. In fact, he was even notorious enough that Tiny Lister himself acknowledged that he was the origins of the Debo character from Friday.
I pulled that from Big U. I used him as my background of how I wanted this character to be perceived. Because the whole thing about how bad this guy was is when Ice Cube pulled the gun on him, he said, what you gonna do with that besides make me mad? that was cold-blooded. That was it for me.
But in the view of his allies and enemies alike, he is far more powerful than his big screen counterpart. If I was to describe Big U's role in rap, he would definitely be the godfather. Wiz Khalifa once said, "Can't do nothing without consulting him. He's the only guy who does move how he moves." Meanwhile, Wiz seemed to go out of his way to stay on Big U's good side, contributing to his community projects and keeping that connection strong. But now, like many of Big U's relationships, is being viewed through a different lens.
Wiz, what about Wiz?
Oh, Wiz Khalifa. Now that right there is one of my nephews. Yes, sir. A phenomenal brain. I think people don't give Wiz the credit he deserves for how smart and intelligent he is. He has donated for the last, 5 years. He has donated every year to the organization. I think he gave us $25,000 last year for the football organization. In the terms of, we bought football jerseys, uniforms. He paid for our field. He's performed 2 times for us a year for the football program. By far, he's done far more for the Crenshaw community than any person up to date.
Wiz been paying them taxes for a long time. Extortion gang. With FBI specials claiming that he controlled Los Angeles through violence, fear, and intimidation, that reportedly even led to getting donations out of people like Shaq, Draymond Green, and others, they argued that Yu simultaneously attempted to create an air of legitimacy for the Big U enterprise by promoting himself as a reformed gang member focused on bettering his community. But what many people do not know is that one of the cornerstones of that attempt to make the Big U enterprise both profitable and appear above board was his management career. Most specifically, his ties to none other than Nipsey Hussle. But now, as he stands accused of killing one of his other former artists in the RICO, some of the theories surrounding his acrimonious relationship with Nip and how he responded to his death has people wondering if the narrative we're used to hearing around the Slauson legend's death is really all there is to the tale. As a fellow Rolling 60s affiliate, Big U was a natural hit for Nipsey when he set out on his career. Back when he initially began to establish himself as a rapper and focus solely on his grind, Big U actually gave Nipsey a place to crash. And at the outset, the two were thick to the point that Nip allegedly did his bidding. This brings us to the story of SKG, a woman who was raised in the Rolling 60s environment, but progressed to working in a corporate environment at a radio station. A former artist on death row in her own right, SKG had a relationship with Nip, but it didn't go sour until Big U got involved over a $500,000 project that she was placed in charge of, and handed off to Yu's company, Developing Options. After he refused to deliver on various plans and the cost skyrocketed, SKG and the station decided to go another route with the community project, and things went left at the office when they were confronted by Big U himself.
Throughout that, me and Big U start getting into it. We start having conflicts. We decided in the middle of the conflicts that we wasn't going to work together anymore.
Okay.
So with that being said, I was moving that money to another organization. When he found out I was moving the money to another organization, he came into the meeting that I had at my job and disrupted the whole meeting, threatened me in a meeting, disrespected me in a meeting. When he did that, my colleagues, this is a corporate establishment. It's not a hood environment. It's not a trap house. This is my job, my salary job, and I brought you to the table. But you're coming in here and you're trying to bogart and knock me out the way when I brought you in.
But Big U soon drove a wedge between her and Nipsey when the rapper set her up on the Elder Crip's behalf.
He did all that, and I closed out the meeting, and my colleagues rode with me, and he seen that. So I didn't talk to him anymore. A couple of days passed, or not even a couple of days, like a week passed, and Nipsey's calling me. He's like, "Sis, where you at? Where you at, sis? I need the posters." I wasn't going over to the neighborhood, to the 6-0s, because I was really busy, and I'm like, "Nip, I'ma come, but I can't come right now." He has Slauson T's shop on Slauson and Crenshaw at the time. So he's like, all right, I need the posters. Him and Fats is behind the counter. And I'm like, what's up, bro? And I'm talking to him. And as I'm talking to him, I get this eerie feeling. And then I hear a slam, clack, clack. And I realized I was set up. And so...
What do you mean a slam, clack, clack?
The door slammed.
Okay.
When I turned around, Big U was there and another guy, and he just slapped me. And I grabbed my face and I'm like, "What you slap me for?" And he was like, "Gonna embarrass me in the meeting." And then he just jumped on me.
Although she didn't go into every detail of what happened, she was clearly left traumatized by it.
And I looked at Nipsey, and him and Fast just put their head down. And I just was like, You set me up like I trusted you, and you set me up, had me walk into this spot for this man to beat on me, and I'm pregnant. I get
how far
so
along?
I'm sorry. I don't even want to. I get so mad about this, Sasha. I get very upset.
Hey, Jasmine, can you bring some tissue, please?
And she even tried to out him for years when they ran into one another, with her actually being the one to get arrested.
Did you put your hands on
him? Never even seen you.
I
think
you're
bully.
I
think you're bullying right now.
No, did you lock me in the spot?
I think you're. Can you call the police?
Yeah, call the police. Call them now. So I can press charges for what you did.
What's going on here? As dark as this was, Big U's relationship as Nip's manager persisted, even when they accidentally caught a case together over their transport on a tour where Nip was opening for the game.
And so what happened, one of my partners was on the run for 12 years, and the bus that we used was a part of the investigation. So when he was getting married, well, I talk about it now because he already turned himself in. So when he was getting married, I told him, man, let me use your mobile home. So we turned around and went to Sony and told Sony we got transportation. We can get on the game tour. Because that's when we had did the song with Nip and Game. It was called How We Roll. I think it was something like How We Roll.
I remember that shit.
The song started picking up. So Sony was like, okay, we're going to put you on the tour. So Sony give us like 90 bands. So then we cake 20 off the top, me, Steve, and Nip. And we got 70. The homie like, shit, you ain't got to give me nothing. Just get it registered and get the insurance on it. Little did we know, once we re-registered it, it put it back on the hot list.
Oh.
But he's been on the run 12 years. I only been home 3.
But things couldn't last when the streets and the music industry intertwined, particularly as Nip started gaining traction. As his career began to take off, Nipsey spoke of the mounting friction between him and unnamed former allies as he began to elevate.
Especially if you come from LA, or especially you come from the streets in general. And, you know, you got a lot of people that feel entitled to your success on their time frame. Because a lot of times in my situation, I had plans to do for a lot of people that are healthy, but it just wasn't on their time frame. And I never been one to speak about what I'm going to do, especially if it's something generous. I don't feel like you know what I'm saying, to broadcast that. You just do it. And a lot of times people be like, damn, it's been a year. He's been on for a year. I ain't got nothing yet. You know what I'm saying? Fuck this nigga. He ain't, you know what I'm saying? He Hollywood. He ain't doing nothing for it. When, you know, it's an understanding on my side, too. You have to understand what's going on with the way people looking at you.
Disillusioned with his former team, Nipsey claimed that he tried to rise above until he couldn't any longer.
You know, that's not the reality of the situation. You got responsibilities. You got priorities. You got bills. You got taxes. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to end up like Wesley Snipes or none of these other rappers.
So, you know, It's a process. You gotta, over time, hopefully you don't go to jail reacting emotionally in a process of involving into your success. Or get, God forbid, anything. You know, we all know what could happen. The downfall is out here, but it's a art in surviving that transition. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, it's, in my situation, in my scenario, it's more so like, don't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Just that. Don't even react to the shit. To the negativity. Sometimes it knocked on the door. Like, we got into a recent and you had an altercation, you know what I'm saying? It was the people we used to do business with. It was all over internet and all that. But the bottom line with that was, you know, it became a situation that couldn't be avoided. You know what I mean? It had to be addressed. But with me, 9 times out of 10, my reaction as an LA, as the somebody that came up out here, as somebody that with the bullshit at the end of the day, is to just go hard. But you can't do that. Because, you know what I'm saying, you want to live life in a direction of where you're going. And you want to, the person you're trying to become, you want to live like that.
And over time, the tension started to bleed into Nipsey's music. He began dropping songs aimed at rolling 60s OGs like Big U, most notably in You Don't Got a Clue, where he raps lines like, I'm busy getting rich, you think I'm going to stop for you? And also, act like they're supposed to have control over what I do. I built this on my own, and everybody knows it's true. Considering how carefully he guarded his reputation, this led to Big U demanding that Nip be disciplined. And in a now infamous story, Wack and Big U's former right-hand man, Loose Cannon, revealed how Nipsey's brother, Black Sam, squabbled up in his brother's defense. Initially, it's alleged that Big U tried to fight Nipsey, but he was too fast for the much older man.
Nipsey did the diss off. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know Nipsey got a Big U diss off. They don't know it.
You don't have a clue.
Right? You don't have a clue. Something like that, right? You mentioned his name and everything, right? And that's when he went down there and knocked him out. And that's when Sam came.
No, he didn't knock. No.
Well, he say he knocked him out. He say he knocked Nip out.
No.
Sam came out busting the air. I got the call to come bail him out. Come to find out, that was a play.
Yeah, so basically, let's get this straight. So Nip had an altercation with him in the studio or whatever. Big U was like, is this song about me? He was like, yeah, it's about you, cuz. So Big U threw the water bottle at him, right? So he was like, we're gonna have to go downstairs and get down, right? So they're in the middle of the street, and Nip kept just bouncing around. You get what I'm saying? Not trying to get hit or whatever, trying to fire him. So he was like, all right, cuz, I'm gonna have, like, my little homies come, because, nigga, I don't have to win for this, right?
So things picked up the following day, and Black Sam didn't hesitate to do what he could to deter Big U from thinking he could extort or intimidate his brother.
TD and them came, and he was just doing some bullshit or whatever like that. So they try to come. Big U tell Nip, get in the car. You're going to go on Bryanhurst, and you're going to get in, right? Black Sam, like, you ain't taking my brother nowhere. You get what I'm saying? And he tried to pull him out the car. When he tried to pull him out the car or whatever like that, Nip looked over, and he was like, listen, long as you don't, you know, me, we good.
But in the process, Sam ended up getting arrested. And the way that the cops showed up so fast had Luce claiming that Big U might have been working with them.
So he put them on his pockets. They try to rush Nip. You get what I'm saying? Like Paul's and all of them, right? And so Black Sam busts in the air. When he busts in the air, Big Useless had the police already watching. They come there 30 seconds, right? That's how
we
it
don't
happens.
Even know till Black Sam and the other dude from 40s tell us when we started exposing. They said, bro, Wack, you know that night that when that thing happened, when the police came, Big U flashed something and started directing the police.
The next day, Nipsey bailed them out, leading them straight onto a private jet and into a celebratory mood.
$1 million.
Excuse me.
$100,000 loss. $1 million bond. Nigga, what you talking about? Nigga, we in Vegas, congrats.
But even though there was some kind of confrontation, the tension didn't end there. As Nipsey's career kept rising, Big U was still seen as a lingering problem, someone who never really let go. Later on, Black Sam spoke about how they had to protect DJ Khaled from the whole check-in game and the so-called friendly extortion just to shoot the Higher music video in Compton. And that move, well, it didn't sit well with Big U at all.
Not to get into too much detail, but there was a lot of big politics getting into certain people. You know, Hustle had DJ Khaled in the hood. Not to be speaking too much on shit, but we came frontline like we always do. And, you know, niggas gonna know we gonna crash out behind it. We not playing. Ain't nobody saying nothing to Khaled. Ain't nobody doing nothing to Khaled. And he's straight and Hustle frontline that. And, you know, we felt like certain people didn't like that. And did the video. Khaled got out of there perfect and smooth. And, you know, we appreciated Khaled for showing up, coming to the hood and doing the video. And we knew that this was going to be one of them.
However, that video wouldn't even be released until after Nipsey's tragic passing on March 19th, 2019. And while the general belief is that Eric Holder, a Rolling 60s Crip in his own right, killed Nip over an argument stemming from snitch allegations, not everyone has been so convinced. Particularly as not only did Nipsey and Big U never patch things up before his passing, but there have been regular accusations that he was the man who set it up. And if you need to know anything about Big U's power in LA, just look at the body language and refusal to probe further from LA molded individuals like AD and T-Rell when they questioned him on it.
We was just in every video.
Mm-hmm.
Like how we was beefing when all his songs, every album he put out, since we had the so-called altercation, he shouted me out. He got the goddamn keys to the city. Like, what? Didn't he say, I want to be Big U? Oh, no, what did he say? Big U? Like, J Prince and Big Draws? And then, I mean, like, what did he say? He shot me out of every song. Like, I mean, but you got to figure that that's not going to make no sense, though. Because people make money. You know how much money people made off of saying that? The president wrote a letter to the Nip family. And they vowed to find all who had involvement with it. What the f*** would I still be doing here?
Right.
So it was like, then I'm like, but like you said, when people who don't like you can use that against you. And I told my homies, I said, look, pay attention, bro. And I go to people and I'm like, it's a whole side of LA that don't like us. They supposed to diss me.
But audiences were less convinced, claiming that Big U had nothing to lose and everything to gain from Nipsey's passing. Big U wasn't getting these interviews like this when Nip was around. He definitely had a hand in that hit. Go back and look at the mockery on his live where he read a comment saying, "Justice for Nip," and looked back at his homie and started laughing. Big U was definitely trying to capitalize off Nip. And if you're wondering, yes, that incident on live really happened, and it has to be seen to be believed.
Justice for Nip.
Or your boy would have been there like, yeah, you got it.
I swear to God, everybody that was showing this shit,
you did. You did. They waiting on,
But commentators are far from the only ones beating this drum. In several interviews, Charleston White has detailed his belief that there were active gang politics when he started to outgrow the crew.
Homie, they killed Nip too. Let's not forget, homie. They killed Nipsey Hussle. Eric Holder was not a lone actor in that. If you go back and follow the detail, Nip and Big U got into it. Big U hit Nip Daddy across the head with a bat. His brother had to come out and shoot the gun. Hey, y'all get out. Say, Nip, come on, nigga, we finna come beat you because I don't want to pay that $20,000. You say it's over this equipment, but the white folks is pulling me away from the set. I met a Jewish white boy on the front row at the Los Angeles Lakers ball game. Me and this white boy getting drunk, we started talking business idea. This white boy, see, I'm a sharp nigga. This white boy pulled me into business ventures, the vector sector, right? So now I'm being expanded, but now they pulling me away from the set. The set have made it known nobody's bigger than the set. Nobody's bigger than the program.
And while so much has transpired between Nip and Big U, Charleston feels there was no bigger contributing factor in his passing than Nipsey flourishing and sparking jealousy among his would-be superiors in the gang and refusing to fall in line and pay dues.
And all the other big homies and the OGs in the hood, they standing in front of Nip shit. They standing on the street corners. When Nip pull up in that fucking platinum Jaguar, he pull up in that fucking platinum Jaguar, nigga, them fresh ass Puma with all them goddamn chains on. And then he opened up the door. He got a Hollywood coming up out of there, London Lauren, one of the baddest Hollywood we done seen. When the little homies see Nip pull up, do you think they gonna stay here and talk to the big homies? Big U, Nip? They go making a bad face and say, y'all, there go Nip. And they go run away from the big homies. As all the excitement going to Nip, all the brawls, everybody in the store, what you think the big homies sitting back saying? Now Nip is growing. Nip, that Monday, had a meeting with the LA County, with the LA Police Department on gang intervention program before he come up dead. So now Nip and Big U done fell out over $20,000 worth of equipment. So they say. But it's really over $20,000, nigga, extortion fee to pay for protection. Yeah, Nip was being extorted too. He had to pay for protection. That's why they got that video of him that WAC 100 say they got of him.
While Charleston is about as removed from the 60s set as you can get, there are some involved in that world who have suggested Big U knew more than he let on. In fact, in the wake of the indictment, No Jumper has since deleted a video where Loose Cannon suggested that Big U knew he'd been killed prior to it happening.
So he FaceTimed me and stuff like that. He was like, Nipsey just got killed. I'm like, sick, so I didn't hear that. So I hang up with him. I called Nipsey, and I'm like, Nipsey, what's up? He was like, oh, what's up with it?
Nipsey answered.
He answered the phone, and I was like, I love you, cuz, or whatever like that.
Did you tell him to call you just got, or you didn't even mention
it? I didn't mention it. That's what fucked me up, because my cousin is Nipsey baby mama. You get what I'm saying? So it was like, I could have probably stopped it, or it had it.
Stop what? You mean that? You talking about?
No, because listen, so after I talked to Nipsey and I was like, yeah, I love you, cuz, or whatever like that, I'll see you later or whatever. So I hung up the phone. I thought Big U gave wrong information. 30 minutes later, the homies blowing me up like they just killed Nipsey.
In his opinion, this was a premature call when he knew what was really about to happen.
The homie Shitty double back three times. You get what I'm saying? And first he shot him, boom, go into the alley, came back and shot him, boom. It wasn't good enough. And then he came back and he shot him again. But now it's like
how did he know?
Yeah, no, but
yeah, that's crazy.
It's deep. So it's like, I don't know who to trust.
Now let me ask you a question. I heard this. I don't know how true it is. I heard that Shitty and Nipsey had had a fight.
Yeah, they had
prior to couple weeks before that.
They had a fight like a week before that. When they had a fight, you know, shit, he ain't known for fighting.
Yeah, no,
he,
not at all.
He known
not
for doing the other thing. So at the end of the day, it's like Nipsey beat him up. Nipsey is what, it's like 6'4", 6'5". Shitty is like 5'5", 5'6". You get what I'm saying? Like frails. Like,
but as damning as this seems, his alleged involvement in the killing of Nipsey isn't even one of the killings that may put him behind bars. And this time, he may never get back out again. In the indictment, Big U is accused of being involved in the killing of Rayshon Williams, a former Crenshaw High School football star and best friend of Big U's son, LA Chargers player Dayan Henley. Referred to in the paperwork as RW, his relationship with Big U started off much like Nipsey's. He had lived with him at one point and was even signed to Big U's label, Unique Music. But things went south for Rayshon when Big U set him up in Las Vegas at a prestigious studio to kickstart his career. Reportedly, tension began over his refusal to work as intended, with FBI agent Andrew Russa claiming, "I believe that Rayshon was wasting time," thereby disparaging Henley's name and the Big U Enterprise reputation, and potentially flouting that disrespect with the lyrics of the diss song led to a dispute. As we learned from Nip, dissing Big U can be a catalyst of problems, and this reportedly led to a confrontation in the studio. After that, they parted ways, and William was said to have returned to his Airbnb to grab his belongings. But a few hours later, around 3 a.m., Big U showed up back at the studio alone, reportedly drenched in sweat. 6 hours after that, Rayshon's body was found dumped in a ditch. While at the studio, Big U allegedly asked for their surveillance footage to be deleted. FBI agent Andrew Russa later wrote that the footage likely showed an altercation between Henley and Williams that night. At the very least, it would have captured the two of them leaving the studio together shortly before the murder. Since then, Big U has reportedly kept his distance from Rayshon's family, who've been demanding answers. But every time, he's dodged being questioned. And now, after giving a sample, DNA matching Big U was found under Rayshon's fingernails, placing him even closer to the crime than he ever admitted.
Y'all remember a couple days ago when I mentioned that case where the kid, the football player, you know, was Big U's son's best friend, been on the football team, who was living with Big U, was killed. And they were saying that Big U didn't show up to the funeral, never contacted the mother for any type of support, anything, just blocked her and everything, right? It was just like, damn, bro, like you always say if you know anything about these gang murders to give you the information. But when the football player is the best friend of your son who was living with you, turns up dead, you don't want nothing to do with nothing, right? So the news came out today, this morning. The mother said that Big U has been denying to give his DNA. So they had to send a warrant to get Big U's DNA. You want to take a wild guess whose DNA came back on his son? Big U, Eugene Neely's DNA came back on her son's fingernails.
Apparently, the result was inconclusive, but he couldn't be excluded. But with everything else that stacked up against him, it's certainly not going to help. And neither is the fact that some of the other men that have been captured as part of Operation Drawdown have been running their mouths for years now. First up, there's Loose Cannon's rise to prominence online. Currently jammed up alongside Big U and others, he once was tight with him. But the disharmony between them came from the robbery of Meek Mill and extortion of Rick Ross, where the money didn't add up.
When I did that to Meek Mills and Rick Ross.
What'd you do to them?
Oh, the club, when you sweated them in the club?
Yeah.
Dude, and Meek and Rick have no idea that Draw sent you at him.
Yeah. No, yeah, they sent that because I called Ross. I'm like, Ross,
boy, this shit getting crazy.
Drop off the 50,000. And we're gonna let Meek live on crib. So Ross dropped off the 50,000. And so me and the homies, we go back. He stopped answering the phone.
From there, he has been continually coming at him, claiming that not only his former boss was involved in the killing of Nip, but that Big U was giving out guns to 60s members and was taking down the serial numbers. Since then, the feds have tapped their phones, revealing that they were setting up plugs and pulling a whole host of scams. But it turns out that was basically unnecessary when he continually made comments online that basically could have got him indicted on their own.
We go and do something, and the same niggas we do it to show up to the house like 10 minutes later when we trying to, you know, counting everything, right? And we be like, how the f*** they get the, oh, well, we're going to just give them like $40,000 back and stuff like that. But cuz it's actually putting us in paperwork, right? And like doing like real police shit. I seen the get like 20 guns, and when he got 20 guns, he's selling them to the homies. But he, I'm like, why are you writing down the serial numbers? So it's like he was doing like shit like that, and I didn't catch on. So it was like I'm waking up now. You get what I'm saying?
Because
I'm
his high tech shit.
I'm his right hand man. You get what I'm saying?
And with the benefit of hindsight, people can't believe that he ran his mouth like that. These are some of the slowest criminals on planet Earth. These people get on camera and tell it all. Wow. The same goes for Brick Baby. Now known as a host on No Jumper, this 60s Crip has been less than discreet about his past and present. In fact, he first got on the feds' radar when he threatened Charleston White and claimed he had a dime on his head.
Okay.
Yeah, nah. So he was in Houston at the time when he did that. And this was kind of like around the time, I think, Takeoff had got killed. So yeah, nigga, I contacted Houston Police Department. Then I contacted LA County Police Department as well as the FBI because I wanted to be documented, you know, just in case I run across a Brick Baby and I got to shoot him or hurt him.
Okay,
so yeah, I was setting the stage for a self-defense case.
Then there was his alleged role in the killing of Lil Pop, the cousin of Quando Rondo, who was shot and killed in apparent revenge over Lil Durk. Alleged to be the unnamed fourth co-conspirator listed in Durk's own RICO indictment, Brick Baby initially denied this.
So they said that I, or co-conspirator number four, is I'm the one that provided the location to OTF.
To Lil Durk, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nah. You know what I mean? Like, I know it looks, I wouldn't be right here doing all this first and foremost if I was co-conspirator number four.
But not everyone bought it. Brick Baby out here doing damage control. Sometimes when you talk too much, you usually talk yourself into a life sentence. Brick Baby's energy changed when he heard Lil Durk's name. But then, he went on a spree of incriminating himself.
All the guys that came in on the big plane, rooms at the Sheraton Universal Hotel, using a credit card in Durk's name.
Maybe Durk wasn't talking to them about...
Hey, listen.
That's
innocent,
what I said. Listen.
Innocent until proven
like,
guilty.
Man, don't book nothing in my name, bro. Because y'all stay smoking and shit, then I can't go to the hotels.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right.
All the while, he was aware that he was on the law enforcement radar, claiming that he was unsubtly monitored for months afterwards. Then there was the track Not Enough, where he actively alluded to involvement in a murder for hire case, spitting, "Last one we turned into a pack, we got a million plus." Big U seemed to allude to it too.
The youngsters get out and then they have to have an experience before they realize, I should have checked in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or I should have called, or I should have been moving a certain way. And so they get out, and they might be under your banner, but then they not respecting the banner. They ain't calling you. They got your number. Mm-hmm. They know who you is, but they feel like they bigger than the program. You know, and you got a lot of dudes, like when I was here last time, that claim my neighborhood that's in this music shit, but they don't really fuck with us until it's a problem. Then they call them. Like Quando Rondo. I just showed Envy. Like, you can't call me now. You can't call me when the fire hot.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't with me before that.
Now, Brick Baby is behind bars too, and in hindsight, it's starting to look like he made his own bed. As a result, there's little to no sympathy for him among the LA podcast scene, which has done nothing but worsen the situation.
But that shit with the boy, nigga, who got killed in the gas station, nigga.
Whoa, what you talking about, brother?
You ain't gotta know. It's public knowledge. They took his phone. Whacking them already talked about it. All I'm doing is narrating on something that's already in the blogs. So yeah, let me run my content anyway. You remember that shit?
Yeah,
let
smack hit the floor.
You remember he said that
I'm
shit
cool.
About? All right then, shut the fuck up. Don't say nothing if you cool. Look, remember he said that shit about the boy Durk. They can't say go kill Vaughn no more. All this shit came back on your ass. You ran your mouth too much, and now look what happened.
And as it turns out, that's a massive part of the reason why we're at where we are right now. Because without these gangsters refusing to move in silence, then the evidence might not be looking nearly as compelling as it is now. According to the incident, those LA podcasts were monitored exclusively in the lead up to the feds making their move.
And he has since been a fixture on the internet, talk shows, and podcasts. All things that law enforcement have looked at closely as part of this investigation. He has maintained the image of an entertainment industry entrepreneur.
And sadly for many of those who are now locked up, such as Loose Cannon and Brick Baby, they are addicted to the content cycle. They even prefaced what was going to happen in real time.
We filed a report with the feds in LA, along with the LA County Police. I swear to God, I'm telling you the honest to God truth, this is what I did. So as a self-proclaimed gang leader, gang member, who has ties to one of the most notorious gangs in this state, in this country. He's now going around telling all the gang information. They see the feds see he got a loose lip, so he may give up some information.
And in Luce Cannon's case, he's still literally calling up shows from jail.
I'm doing good. Everything is perfect, taken one day at a time. You get what I'm saying? So I'm doing the best I can under these conditions. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Making sure that it's free everybody that's on the case. Everybody is taken and trying to make the best out of it. You get what I'm saying? I'm not going to my head down or anything like that. I'm going to stay strong. I got a strong team. I got especially Remo, Adam, Academic, everybody, WAC, 600, everybody that's supported.
Meanwhile, the individuals that platform this content, such as Adam22, are taking no accountability for the way the platform encourages people to talk about the streets as their main selling point.
You know what I do? I put people in position, put them on the podcast, give them jobs, help them make legal money. A lot of the shit that people are getting caught up, especially with Break, it's like, I'm not seeing anything that says anything about stuff that he's done in the last 2 years since he's been us, right? So, you know, end of the day, I do employ people from the streets. And I guess, you know, people from the streets sometimes get caught up in federal RICO indictments, whatever the f- is. And all I can say is that, yes, I may crack a joke here and there. I'm sorry, that's just my sick sense of humor. But end of the day, that's my boy. I'm standing with him. Luce, I got love for Luce, too. We're going to be documenting this whole thing, helping him along the way, whatever it is. So anybody acting like this is because of No Jumper? No, No Jumper was the antidote to this book.
However, does that hold weight when it's these comments from people like Brick Baby that are always sure to go viral?
I got more murders than you got squabbles in the hood and homies. Yeah, those than you got squabbles in the set. On the hood. Hey, you I got.
Can you give us like at least two names from your put on and what block? I ain't never seen you at no meeting at Hyde Park Horseman or at 54th. When did you get put on?
Baby, when did you
get put on? I got put on in 2002. I got put out in 2002 Eileen Street at June House. What's up? Yeah, dead homie. So when you get put on?
No, you haven't, bro. You been in
man, cause Baby was a part of my put on. They was a part of my put on. Oh, the dead homies. My first name was Baby Wild. He's an Izzy Turn East Coast. That was the third.
Even though Adam is apparently feeling good about his role in the whole thing, others aren't so sure that he might not wind up in trouble in his own right. For one thing, Roy thinks Adam might get jammed up.
Adam, be careful, because if you think the feds ever need logic in a RICO case, as far as money being funneled and what that money went to, even though you didn't even know where the money was going, don't act like you can't get brought up in this shit either. I don't think Adam did anything, but do you think the feds care? You think they play by the same rules we play by?
A lot of times
you could find any wired money, and that money that was wired there was used to do something that was sent to somebody. You get caught up in this in a heartbeat, and just happened at your compound recently with the people that were arrested.
Yeah.
So Adam, I see you joking on the internet, and I swear I'm not one of these people that are sitting here like you and Vlad like indict people. I don't think you had anything to do with this.
As for Big U, all signs are pointing to kingpin status. For one thing, the indictment claims that everyone involved is linked to him. And as always, their ties to the online content world have done nothing but expand on those connections for the feds.
Mitchell and Henley, which is Big U, coordinated how Brick Baby would give Big U the proceeds from a robbery that Brick Baby committed. They were talking about how much it should go to Henley. Then in multiple other intercepted calls, Henley talked. Here's my point. If you used to do robberies and bust down the money for the robberies with Big U, why the hell would you get hired at a job that you got to talk about Big U potentially doing some other criminal shit, bro? When you used to do crime for him, bro. That shit don't make no sense to me. He should have said to Adam, respectfully, Adam, yo, I like doing content here. This is kind of cool. This is like a regular job for me. I like it. But bro, could we please stop talking about Big U? And probably should bring that nigga to the side and explain to him like, yo, bro, you know what? I used to be doing these crimes with him, right? You know that, yeah, maybe not this situation, but like me and him used to be doing dirt together. Like, bro, if you value me, could we stop talking about this on No Jumper? Because essentially, I'm talking about my crimes.
Meanwhile, the rest of the content world is working out how to respond to a man that they're supposed to fear and revere being in this situation. Because clearly, he wields enough power to have normally outspoken people dancing around the topic.
Nah, man, I feel like I don't know what's going on.
They tired of nigga shit.
Apparently, some of y'all out there are not civilians, and y'all are in a different business, which I don't really get, but I figure I'm just not evolved enough or educated enough in y'all side of the business. But if I was in y'all side of the business, I wouldn't do the business like that.
You can see it all over the footage that's been circulating ever since Big U turned himself in. In one clip, Draco the Ruler is sitting with Loose Cannon, opening up about how risky life in the spotlight can get, how being too visible can make you a target.
It's the same as out here. Nigga know these streets, nigga. Yeah. Nigga can't go nowhere. Niggas ain't finna just be nigga out here, nigga chopping and posting pictures and all that. That's how niggas
the money wise and all that extra shit.
Thinking
right?
They got these restaurants, thinking they low. You in Beverly Hills and all that. Bitch, that shit 10 minutes from the hood, nigga.
You're right.
You out your mind and you think you safe over here.
Man, give a location.
None of that shit when I go out of town. Nigga, I don't post no hotels, none of that, nigga.
When from out of nowhere, Big U sinisterly pulls up. With such crazy charges being attached to the entire indictment, many people believe that snitching is imminent. Because when you're looking at potentially life-ending or altering charges, all that talk of loyalty tends to go out the window.
Gray Bird, Big U had in that picture going, nigga, man, that's Paw Paw. That nigga ain't that when he, nigga. Nigga, when he with his family and the news hit that he wanted, nigga, he with his woman, he with his children, he with them grandkids. And them grandkids saying, Paw Paw, where you going? And Paw Paw got to go turn himself in. Man, crying on the inside. Just as soon as he can get by himself, man, Paw Paw don't want to leave them grandbabies. Talk that tough guy shit, but nigga got all that gray hair on that beard. And that nigga said, man, that already pleading.
Facts.
So now he gonna be the first to tell. Let me tell it. But this is what I'm saying. Everybody tell it. Might if this is no time to be lawyer and standing on no motherfucking code. They done got 40, 50. This is not the time to play fool. Be a wise man and give up some information to save yourself. There's no honor amongst thieves.
And by the sounds of it, Brick Baby might already be doing it. In a recent Clubhouse chat with WAC 100, a 60s member named 600, also known as Christopher Lovejoy, suggested that Brick Baby had prior knowledge that Big U was in trouble with the feds on a RICO due to a hot one out of town.
You gotta say, I'm with Brick at this time. I was his savior to bring him back to the hood. He telling me everything was going on, so I know what's going on with the case and all the everything other. So, he's telling me, man, the feds be on all your videos, bro. They like, man, Lovejoy gives us a tour of the hood every day.
He telling me.
We done watch all your videos. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, huh? Why don't watch my video? Like, whatever. But he's like, yeah, bro. They found the chop. I'm like, okay. So I didn't really think nothing of it because, like I told you, my whole stance with him at that point was he never told before this. So I just assumed that he was in some hot grease and he had whatever he had coming from the legal system. So I never followed up on till time start going by, like, nigga, what's up with that case? They start going around it. You know
no, but no, 600. Your first red flag was when he started telling you the feds was telling him about Big U.
Oh,
feds don't so just yeah, go to so, tell him
so that's what he telling me. He like, bro, Big U on fire, bro. It's ugly for cuz. They want cuz in jail.
And from there, he argued that Brick appeared to know insane levels of detail.
They got a RICO on him. I'm like, yeah? He like, no, but you ain't got nothing to worry about. It's a Big U RICO, not a 6-0 RICO. Everybody who he been dealing with, they tied cuz to a hot one out the way. I'm like, ooh. He said, yeah, it's ugly. I'm like, damn.
During a recent visit where he jokingly called the coolest police precinct in the world, WAC claimed that Big U is still up to his old tricks, using whatever leverage he has, even while everything around him is falling apart.
And Big U, for the record, I'm going to say it.
The DNA's found.
Big U was blackmailing Brick Baby.
Oh my God.
No, but Luce said that. Luce said that the night before they got locked up. Luce said that to Brick's face.
Ain't lying. And if you read what's coming out, they say, we now have a video of a shooting. He was blackmailing him with that.
Whatever happens next, one thing's for sure. The feds are locked in on tearing down what they were calling the Big U organization. And in an era where RICO cases are becoming more and more tied to the world of hip hop, this one's no exception. Maybe, just maybe, it'll finally expose the truth. Not just about the rappers and celebrities caught up in the check-in culture, but about what really happened to Nipsey as well. Long live Nipsey Hussle, the marathon continues. It's your boy Luesa, and I want to thank y'all for watching today's video. As always, I'll see y'all on the next one. Peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.